exactly ask you about that, which is kind of following up on what Brock was asking, because your executive order that ended the teaching of CRT said that it would end the teaching of inherently divisive concepts, including CRT. So other than CRT, can you give us a specific example of what is an inherently divisive concept that you think should not be taught in Virginia schools?
Yeah, the inherently divisive concepts are taken directly from the Civil Rights Act. And they're teaching children that they're inherently biased or racist because of their race or their sex or their religion. They teach that a child is guilty for sins of the past because of their race or their religion or their sex. They teach that a child is oppressed or a victim because of their race, their religion, or their sex. And of course, we've seen this in curriculum. You see, critical race theory isn't a class that's taught. It's something that is, it's a philosophy that's incorporated in the curriculum.
So,
and we saw it in Fairfax County with privilege bingo and right. games like this. But we also saw it in teacher training and professional development, in recommended books entitled Critical Race Theory. And so this is why it was so important for us to clearly define what was not going to be taught in schools and what was, because this is a chance to make sure that we're not pitting our children against one another based on race or religion or their sex, but teaching all history, the good and the bad.
So let me just ask you one more follow-up on that, which is, what do you say to a teacher who wants to teach any one of any number of scholars who say that the condition of Black Americans today can be traced all the way back to Fort Monroe in 1619, that it's not as if every generation is just brought forth new, that there were hundreds of years of slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow, and today is part of that.
Why you don't go on these things, guys? Not learn our lesson with Parkland? Should have.
Information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet.
How are you, baby? How old are you?
People should not be walking around with masks.
Russian disinformation. That was a town hall, I believe it was last night, it might have been the night before, of Glenn Youngkin doing a CNN town hall with moderator Jake Tapper on several issues. Some of them included gender, race, education, guns, kind of any issue that CNN decided, we're going to frame this the way we want to and you're going to take it. I have a piece coming to Spectator, probably today, still maybe tomorrow, where I think the title is Glenn Youngkin's Bad Move. And I know that this is a debatable issue. Well, we have to go to places, we have to go on these things, and you have to present. No, you don't. Maybe 10, 15 years ago, they thought you did. The Parkland Town Hall should have been the end of this for Republicans and CNN. There should have been a memo that went out. It said, never again are we doing this. Ever. Not with this network, not with that host, and not with that audience. I think Youngkin handled himself. He's affable, he's smart, he's well-versed on the issues. I think he comes off a little bit, I don't want to say, nicer or goody or two-shoes than, say, Ron DeSantis, who can be confrontational. Both are fine, but you're not going to win, is the whole point of this. It doesn't matter what you say, and it doesn't matter how well you say it. And that's why I wanted to open with that clip, because he does. He responds very well, and he says, this is what critical race theory is. It's not a class. It's not CRT 101, and you take, you know, honors roles of it. Well, we don't take honors classes anymore because those are racist. He says this is a governing philosophy, and he sums it up very well and very crisp and clear for people to understand. And what does Jake Tapper do? I want to play that part again where Tapper starts debating him on this. Because that's what he does. He disagrees with Youngkin's answer, not as a debate moderator, not as someone who says, okay, thank you, next question. It's, hold on there, sir. you said something and I must correct you. And it's not because of anything factual. It's because of Tapper's own personal bias and opinion. Here's that part again about 16.
So let me just ask you one more follow-up on that, which is, what do you say to a teacher who wants to teach any one of any number of scholars who say that the condition of Black Americans today can be traced all the way back to Fort Monroe in 1619? That it's not as if every generation is just brought forth new, that there were hundreds of years of slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow, and today is part of that.
What you say to the teacher is no. It's that simple. There's no long, winding answer here. What do you say to the teacher who wants to teach, the fact that any number of scholars, what scholars? This is right here the problem. And this is, to me, where Youngkin errs. As I get, he's a governor, he has to come off, you know, polished and rehearsed. But this is where you say, I outright reject your framing of this issue. Sir, what do you say to a teacher who wants to teach? You don't teach here. If that's what you want to teach, pack your bags and head for San Francisco, where they'll let you do that there. Tapper then cites any number of scholars who say the condition of Black Americans today can be traced directly to 1619. He says the buzzword right there. And that's when I say, I assume scholars you're speaking of, Nicole Hannah-Jones, Ibram Kendi, Robin DiAngelo, etc., those people. And there are others. But that's who mainstreamed it. It was Nicole Hannah-Jones who mainstreamed it in the New York Times. And right there is when I say, you're referencing the 1619 Project, which had to be corrected by several historians on both the political right and the ideological left spectrum, citing several historical inaccuracies and revisionisms, to the point to where even the New York Times, who published these essays, and Nicole Hannah-Jones is trying to incorporate them into curriculum around the country. That's what she's doing. That's why she hasn't written anything else for them. She's going around and she's meeting with lawmakers and school boards, and she's saying, here, put this in your classroom and put this into your curriculum. It's the actual teaching of America, and it's not. There were several flawed things that were just theories. If you want to put that into, say, a literature college course, or even maybe, you know, an AP high school course, I think high schoolers are smart enough to pick this thing apart. That's fine, but you're not putting this into history. And that's what Glenn Youngkin should have said to Tapper right there. And that's where I fear that a lot of these guys lose the nuts and bolts specific parts of these arguments. You say, well, I'm going to stop you right there, Jake, because what you're doing is you're pushing a false narrative of what American history is, to the point where even the New York Times had to correct their own writings on it. And we don't teach false history in schools, as long as I'm governor. And then when he says scholars, you say, like who? Because I don't think Jake Tapper probably just knows the superficial ones off the top of his head, Nicole Hannah-Jones and Ibram Kendi. I would say to him, how much money have they made in the last three, 4, 5 years pushing this stuff? My problem with Youngkin here is he's treating Tapper like he's his equal here, that we're both talking to voters and the thing. No, he's not. You need to stop treating him that way. We saw what Jake Tapper was with Parkland as he sat on a stage in a CNN town hall at the behest of Democratic lawmakers to put that town hall on less than a week after the shooting. I think it happened in the same week. How do I know it was at the behest of local lawmakers that Tapper and CNN did this? Well, I put that in my piece, and I hope he disputes it. He won't. He won't read it, but let's just say I know for a fact. And I have receipts should I decide to bring them. So they put on a town hall at the behest of Democrats in Florida. They bring up Marco Rubio, who shouldn't have agreed to do it, and they brought up Dana Loesch, who shouldn't have agreed to do it. At the time, she's the NRA spokesperson. And it turned into a show trial, where kids who were clearly still traumatized and being used by CNN, they had their spokeskids, just like they did for climate. We have Greta.
Dare you?
And now we had the shooting spokeskids, and the media made them stars, and they made them part of a parade. And they got up on stage, and they accused Marco Rubio of blood-soaked murder. and Sheriff Steve Israel was allowed to gin up the crowd prior to cameras. This was a topic I considered outlining a manuscript on. I'm calling a show trial and going into that night and the shooting and then going into what actually happened. Because it wasn't the NRA that was behind this, and it certainly was nothing to do with Marco Rubio. It turns out the sheriff down there, Steve Israel, who's now disgraced and resigned, and the Broward School Board officials had every red flag, speaking of, under the sun on this kid. The only thing this kid didn't do was stand on a street corner across from the high school with a big billboard that says, "Hey, stop me, I'm going to shoot up the school." It was a failure of policies, and it was a failure of Obama's education policies, which is, you, instead of disciplining problem students or expelling them, you just shuffle them through the pipeline, and you don't discipline them, and you ignore warnings, because that would also be racist. That's why those kids are dead at Parkland High School. But it didn't matter. The sheriff was allowed to gin up the crowd to a point to where Dana Loesch needed a security escort to get out of the arena. As Jake Tapper stood there in his hot dog costume, "We're just trying to find the guy who did this." And he sat there and he let these kids make accusations. Now, of course, you're not going to challenge high school kids that just went through a mass shooting. But that's why you don't fucking do this. And Jake Tapper, who has a history of working with gun lobbies prior to entering journalism, it's a very passionate issue of his, clearly. He has political biases. And that should have been the end. Until Jake Tapper is made to account for that, which he also accepted an award on. So you know he doesn't regret it. They got what they wanted. They got their pound of flesh. CNN got their ratings. And Republicans got the blame for another mass shooting. I get that that's been a while. It's about 6 years ago. But they haven't changed. CNN hasn't changed. Another part of this is, why go on a network where clearly 99% of the audience is progressive liberal Democrat and no one else is going to watch you? This is an attempt to tear down a fairly popular governor, possible presidential candidate who would probably be a strong one. He might be in that kind of Nikki Haley window where he might be missing his shot unless he's tapped as, you know, a VP. Which he could be. A Haley-Youngkin ticket? I don't have a big problem with that one. My point is, this is a no-win situation. No matter how well you handle yourself. This is one of those kind of, when CNBC assigns John Harwood as your debate moderator, you get up and you fucking leave. And you tell them, "We're not coming back. We don't need you." That to me is the biggest thing. Glenn Youngkin doesn't need Jake Tapper. He could host a town hall on YouTube. And you could pull in any voters you want. You don't even have to screen them. Just bring them in. Say, "I'll take questions from any of you." And you just have an aide. Hand them the microphone. But what you don't do is stand there and argue with Jake Tapper, who is ideologically against every single thing, no matter how well you explain it, and no matter how well the policy works, and no matter how many voters like it, he's going to stand there and kind of go stompy feet. Any number of scholars. I heard a rumor that the RNC is also possibly working with CNN for a presidential primary debate. That's the shit where you leave the party. You get up and you leave. Because you're not going to learn your lessons. And that's what happens when you re-elect someone like Rona McDaniel. Again, nothing wrong with Youngkin. And he answered several questions. There was another one where this was supposed to be with constituents and voters. And CNN brings in a 17-year-old transgender man, which is a girl, named Nico, who says, "I am a transgender man, looks kind of masculine, but still is a girl." And he says, "Look at me, I am a transgender man. Do you really think high school girls should be in a bathroom with me?" And Youngkin kind of, you know, again, CNN knows what they're doing by putting a 17-year-old kid up there. One, he can't vote, so I don't know what he's doing asking questions. Silence, child. But CNN knows exactly what they're doing. They want to put this kid up so Youngkin attacks him or says, "I'm sorry, boys can't be girls." Or vice versa. And then this kid is going to make the rounds on CNN and then other networks. And now you have your gender spokes kid. That's what this is about. So Youngkin, again, kind of handles it well. He's like, well, that's why I'm pushing for unisex bathrooms. No, even that is caving on this issue. And then he also said, look, when it comes to sports, because that was the other part of it, he says, we've been very clear on this and we don't think it's controversial. Boys should not be competing with girls' sports. And he says, we've attempted to make great strides with girls' sports in high school. And he's right about that. And that's where I thought he articulated well. And then the CNN camera cuts to, I think, the dad of this kid. And the dad's shaking his head with his furrowed brow. And that's what they wanted. And again, I don't think it matters how well he handled himself. CNN has their ideological position staked out. Trans men are men and trans women are women. And it doesn't matter biologically the difference when that's just fundamentally untrue. Something that happened at CPAC last week concerning this was another thing that was on my pile, Michael Knowles, who said, you know, we need to eradicate transgenderism in public life. And of course, the media took that and they ran with it to say he wants transgender people eradicated. And several outlets, I think it was Daily Beast and Rolling Stone, were forced to change their headlines. And people asked me about what I thought about that. And everyone knows kind of what I think about CPAC anyway. I don't think that that language is helpful. And maybe that's why I'm over here and they're speaking at CPAC. Your goal is not to rile up the 20% of the people that agree with you. Your goal is to, in my opinion, have a conversation and persuade the 40% of the people that, think it's a difficult issue. And I think that kind of rhetoric just, it gives them more ammo. And as you know, I'm pretty much against giving them ammo. I think I look at it and say, you're not going to eradicate it. But you need to be making sound arguments based on medical science. And yeah, any permanent treatment for minors, anything that is permanent on a minor that involves surgery, puberty blockers, hormone treatment, whatever, yeah, I'm against banning that stuff. There's also a reason we don't allow anyone under 18 to get a tattoo. But again, Glenn Youngkin, going back to that, he kind of accepts the framing of it. He's like, yeah, I think we should be putting unisex bathrooms in, whatever, and do you think that that's going to satisfy them? Do you think that's enough? No, because ultimately this argument isn't about bathrooms. He was smart in the sense of saying, well, I know that you want to get dressed in a women's locker room or a men's locker room, whatever, but I'm sorry. So he denied them the soundbite, and that's good, but that was a setup. That's the point. It doesn't matter how well he handles it. It's still a setup on the part of CNN, and Republicans ought to stop fucking doing it. Now, when I commented this on Twitter, I had a bunch of people say, I'm never Youngkin now. No, that's not what I'm saying. But that's why guys like me exist. Now, I write a piece that most likely his people might see. And they say, well, here's some persuasive arguments. But Youngkin still seems like the kind of guy. And he's governor of a blue state. So that's why he's well-practiced in this stuff. But there is absolutely nothing to gain from this. There's nothing to gain audience-wise. No one's going to watch it on CNN. Nobody watches CNN. You'd be better off going to host a town hall on the Hallmark Channel where there's actual viewers. Go to Bravo. Have like the housewives of Jersey Shore or housewives of Virginia pepper you with questions on a couch or something. Go where there's viewers if you insist on doing this kind of stuff. But to me, this is where DeSantis excels and his people excel, where other Republicans don't. Santis gets an invite to The View, and it's like, you called me Satan. I'm not coming on your fucking show. Oh, you can't defend your positions? Not to you, because you're an insane lunatic. Have fun. Well, you can't defend your gun mass shooting position, Jake Tapper? You mean the guy who worked for the gun control lobby? I know where he stands, thanks. I'm good here. It's not that he lost anything, but in these situations, there's nothing to gain and everything to lose. So why hand them? You've been listening to the Versus Media podcast, free member version. To get the rest of the podcast, additional segments, as well as comments, questions answered on the podcast as part of the community, please consider joining one of my three subscriber tiers. There's a monthly, then there's a yearly, and then there's a founding tier as well, which I will participate in chats with members weekly and offer some other perks. You're always, of course, welcome to stay a free member here, and there's, of course, no obligation to subscribe. But you should, because that's where all the fun actually happens. This is the Versus Media Podcast on Substack, and as usual, don't ever talk to journalists.